Take your Bible, if you will, tonight. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14, if you would. While you're turning there, I would like to announce I had a new record set this week for the most scam calls in one day. Before, I told you I had 27. Well, Friday, they went beyond that. I hit 37 scam calls. At one point, I was getting two at a time, literally two at a time. So what a joy it is, you know, to do that. If somebody wants to, yes, sir, brother. I sure will. Amen. Pray, if you could not hear that, pray for Brother Chester's son. His name is Arthur. Pray for him. He's starting to read his Bible. And Brother Chester gave him a Bible, and he started to read it. You pray he'll not fall by the wayside. He'll keep reading it, all right? Do that. That'll be good. Good thing to do, all right? Hope you'll do that. All right, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. The Bible said, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Now, we want to look at the first part of that verse. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. The world's filled with people, they have heart trouble. That is true physically. You go to hospitals now, and they usually have a heart section. And it's rivaled in size only usually by maybe the cancer section, because these are major problems in our day. But spiritually, and that's where we want to go tonight, I believe it's even more true. Heart trouble's deadly in the spiritual realm. It kills physically, but boy, spiritually, it kills homes, it kills families, it kills Sunday school classes, kills youth groups, it kills churches. We can just go on and on. It's a deadly, deadly thing. And faithful Christians become unfaithful because of heart trouble. Because of heart trouble. You say, well, why does that person have such a time, such a hard time? Heart trouble. Heart trouble. You say, man, I went to church. I grew up in church with these people, and man, here I am still in church serving the Lord, but they're not, or maybe they're just spasmodic, not faithful. So what's the difference? Well, it's heart trouble. It's heart trouble. That's where it is. Heart trouble keeps Christians from growing and maturing, being what God wants you to be. Envy, gossip, unkindness, hatefulness, unfaithfulness, all of those kind of things are the outworking of heart trouble. Heart trouble, right? That's where it comes from. But I got good news. Hey, it's possible to examine yourself to see how sound your heart is. So we're just going to look at that tonight. I want to give you symptoms of a sound heart, if we could. And if once you take a look, you can know what you need to do, all right? First thing, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Some of these, when I say these points, you're going to say, well, of course. Well, good, good. I'm not up here trying to amaze you and mystify you, and you walk out of the service tonight saying, whoa, never heard anything like that in my whole life, you know. No, I'm just trying to help you with your Christian life. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Hey, listen, if a sound heart's going to love God. Sound heart's going to love God. Now, not some mushy, gushy thing, all right? I mean something that's there. You'll love him first. You'll love him the most. You'll love him with all that is in you. Everything you've got. That's when we talk about loving God, that's what we're talking about, all right? We're not talking about the way somebody says, well, I just love that, you know, I love ripe bananas. And you don't love them. You just enjoy them, okay? A man, when we talk about loving God, we're talking putting him first in your life. Number one, nobody else even remotely close. You love him the most with everything that's within you, every fiber of your being. As the Lord said, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That is the symptom of a sound heart. And by the way, you say, well, how can I tell for sure if that's the kind of love I've got? Well, that kind of love is revealed by obedience. Obedience. You just obey. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus Christ was speaking, and he said it. You can't misunderstand it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, that's that old King James Bible so hard to understand. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Hey, a little kid that runs up to mom or dad says, Mom, I love you. But if that little kid's disobedient constantly, that little kid doesn't love mama. Okay? You can say, well, I do. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you love the Lord, you're going to endeavor to the best of your ability to keep the commandments he's laid down. You're going to do your best to do that. If you love him, you're going to do everything you can to keep his commandments. You're going to give it all that you've got. And if you realize, oops, I messed up, you're going to go back and try to fix that. You're going to go back and try to fix that. Why? Because I love you. Love him. I've said before, man, my dad was 83 when he passed away, and I was 50-something, you know. And when he passed away, but before he passed away, if he'd have had the courage or the strength to say, boy, get in here, I'm going to whip you. I'd let him do it. I'd let him do it because he's my dad. And I loved him. I loved him. I did things for him I wouldn't do for anybody else. I did things for mom I wouldn't do for anybody else. So why? Because I loved them. I loved them. Hey, you love the Lord, you love him, you'll keep his commandments. They're, as he said, they're not grievous. If you love the Lord, you don't complain about keeping his commandments. You don't struggle around and say, well, it is just so hard keeping all them do's and don'ts. Look, if you love God, you don't go through life complaining. You just don't do it. You don't look for an excuse not to do it. You don't try to justify your disobedience. If you love him, you're working at keeping his commandments. It's just that simple. You check that out. A sound heart, that love will be revealed by obedience. And by the way, I'll just go ahead and say it. Love demands first place. First place. You cannot scripturally love the Lord and flirt with the devil. I will never forget. I was a young teenager. It was before I could drive. And we were out with there were several of us. I don't remember who all was there. My brother was driving. And we were out one probably Friday night. And we used to cruise and just looking for something to do, you know. And we were out probably somewhere out on Camp Bowie Boulevard. And we'd stopped at a light. Now, y'all going to think it's a strange illustration, but you'll get it. We were sitting in that car, and we got to noticing there was a couple in the back seat of the car ahead of us. And they were smooching. But the girl, she was facing our car. Okay? Now, she was smooching some fella in the back seat of the car ahead of us, winking at some of the guys in our car. Now, I don't know who she loved, but she didn't love the one she was smooching, okay? See, look, you can't say, I love the Lord, and then flirt with the devil. You just can't do it. You can't say, I really love him, and then you flirt with the world and try to buddy up with that. You can't do that, all right? That's not the real thing. That's not the real thing. I would not be walking down the street holding hands with my wife and her holding hands with another fellow on the other side. there would be problems. Okay, there would be problems. Now, that makes sense to you, right? You didn't misunderstand the illustration? But boy, there's so many of God's people today say, I love the Lord, but they're flirting with the devil all the time. All the time. They can't hardly keep their eyes off the things of the world. There's got a longing in them. Hey, the first symptom of a sound heart, you're going to love God. You're going to love God. The second symptom of that sound heart is you're going to love His Word. You're going to love His Word. Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm. Boy, that Psalm is obviously filled with information related to the Word of God. The whole Psalm is about the Word of God. Why don't you look at verse 111, Psalm 119, verse 111. Look what the Bible says. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. What is? The Word of God. It is the rejoicing of my heart. Hey, if you got a sound heart, you're going to love the Word of God. You're just going to love it. And if you love it, you're going to read it. You don't love it because you go by the bookshelf and caress it every day. That's not loving the book, okay? If you love that book, you're going to read that book. You're going to open it up. You're going to see what it's got to say. I don't know about you, but over the years, maybe you're like me, you've got a card or a letter from your spouse or your maybe when you were engaged and your fiance or whatever. When you got a letter like that, you didn't get it and go, I'm going to put that on the shelf. Keep that right there. Not a one of you. And you opened it. You opened it up. You didn't open it up to inspect the style of the writing. You opened it up to read the words. You wanted to hear what was said. You wanted to see, hey, what are you saying to me? Look, I'm going to tell you what. If we claim to love this book, we're going to read this book. We're going to read this book. Well, I don't like to read. Okay, get over it. I mean, we've got every excuse in the world. I can or I don't or I won't. And as I've said before, if you can't read, glory to God, in this day of technology, you can put it on something and they'll read it to you. You can put it on your phone and it'll read it to you. You can buy a little bitty thing like this. I bought one for my wife and it'll read the Bible to them. All right? We don't have an excuse to say, well, I just can't. I don't have time. Man, most of you, if you drive to work, you drive a certain amount of time, okay? How many of you drive an hour to work? Anybody drive an hour to work? Anybody here work? Okay, that's what I was afraid of, all right? Yeah, 30 minutes. You drive at least 30 minutes to work? At least 30 minutes to work? Brother Blanton, how long take you drive to work? 45 minutes to an hour. Okay, there you go. All right, what are you doing in that time? Well, get your Bible reading and let the Bible be read to you. If you can't squeeze it in anywhere else. I'm just saying to you, if you're going to love His Word, if you love His Word, you're going to read it. And now I'm going to take it up another step. If you love His Word, you won't avoid the preaching and the teaching of that Word either. You won't avoid that. You won't resist it. You love it. You won't resist that word. You won't try to run away from it. You'll look for it. You'll go after it, okay? Man, I love this book. I love to hear it preached. I love to hear it sung. And I love those things. And before I get into it, I just have a good old time. Now, you have a good time where you want to have a good time in this whole world, all right? You can listen to the garbage the world puts out, and it'll do great things for you. I used every song I could sing to you that's worldly. It's from 30 years ago now, so I'm not going to do it. I have no idea what's on nowadays, none whatsoever, and but most of it's screaming at you anyway. And hey, if you love this book, you'll get in this book, and you won't mind the preaching and the teaching of it. You won't run from it. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm convinced as I can be, a lot of church members do not love the Word of God because they don't have a sound heart. They don't have a sound heart. I didn't say they're not saved. I said they don't have a sound heart. Man, when it only takes you just a little bit to make you happy, okay? I told you, I'm on this situation because of my blood sugar right now. I look longingly at desserts. I'm just looking for the day, all right? When I was first told I was diabetic, 19 years ago, in the hospital after having two stents put in, this cheerful lady walks into the room and says, "You're a type 2 diabetic." I should have grabbed my chest and fell out of the bed, all right? I said, "Well, thanks." She said, "But now it's okay. It doesn't mean you can't eat, you know, anything." She said, "What's your favorite candy?" I said, "Oh, I love peanut M&Ms. She said, "It'll be okay if you have 2 or 3 of them a day." I said, "Packs?" She said, "No, just 2 or 3. I said, "Well, there's no reason to open the pack, all right? I mean, what are we opening the pack for if you're only going to eat 2 or 3? Hey, I mean, I don't know about you. I know what the Bible says about the rich man in hell. He prayed for a drop of water. Drop of water. I'm getting closer to praying for just a taste of real chocolate, all right? Ms. Noble brought me some sugar-free, and it's pretty good, but it doesn't compare to the real thing, all right? It just doesn't do it. I've tried the artificial sweeteners, you know. They don't compare. Hey, but I've never craved a bite of a candy bar. I've wanted to eat the whole thing a lot of times. Yeah. Not of you. You remember said, just give me a taste of that. And then you're getting another taste and another, you know. Hey, listen, you love the Word of God, you don't ration it out to you. You don't ration it out. Man, you get after it. I go by and I visit people. I saw a deal on Facebook today of a lady that I know grew up in this church, was in the youth department in this church, and now doesn't go to church and says you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I look at her and I think, you know, boy, something's wrong with your heart. Man, if it's right, you've got a desire for this. You love God. You love His Word. You're going to seek it. You're going to read it. You're going to seek out the preaching and the teaching of it. That's just part of what it is. If you've got a sound heart, you're going to do that. Third thing is, if you've got a sound heart, you're going to do something else. Look in John chapter 13. When I go to this one, you're going to say, "Preacher, you say this all the time." Good. And I'm going to keep saying it till I die. All right? John chapter 13. If you've got a sound heart, you're going to love God. You're going to love His Word. And then look in chapter 13 of Gospel of John, verse 35. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a sound heart, you're going to love God's people. So, preacher, you harp on that. Yeah, because we have to be reminded. It breaks my heart to see people that don't love other Christians. It breaks my heart to see people that where there's stuff going on shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. I mean, if you love His people, then you'll be with them in the house of God. You'll look forward to being with them in the house of God. And not to look around and say, "What are they wearing today?" It'll be just the thrill of being together with a fellowship with other believers. There ought to be that kind of thing, all right? Hey, there's folks that come to church that are not very lovely. Now, I don't mean physically attractive. Got nothing to do with it. I mean, they're not very lovely in some of the things they do, some of the ways they conduct themselves. They disappoint you. They let you down, all right? I raised two kids. They didn't always please me, but I always loved them. I always loved them. Still do. Still do. Always loved them. Don't mind being around them. Enjoy being in that fellowship. Hey, if you have a sound heart, you're going to love God's people. You're going to love God's people. You'll pray with them and for them. You'll pray with them and for them. You won't try to stab them in the back. You won't gossip about them. You won't envy them if they have something good come their way. You're not going to envy them and say, well, man, why do they get it? They don't deserve that. The Bible said we rejoice with those that are rejoicing. We mourn with those that mourn. And you'll do that. You won't mock them when trouble comes. And you let me say this, when they stumble and fall, you'll weep. You'll weep. You won't say, I knew it was going to happen. You won't have that satisfied, arrogant look on your face. Say, well, I'm not surprised at them. Oh, there'll be some weeping. There'll be some extra prayer. There'll be somebody that's willing to go along and put a shoulder around, not to excuse sin. Not to excuse sin. But to say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. There ought not to be anything other than that when it comes to our relations with God's people. Why? Because we got a sound heart. If you got a sound heart, the Bible says that's the way we know that you're his disciple, because you love the brethren. You love one another. You love one another. Man, I believe we ought to go to church, we ought to come on Sunday morning. That's when the most normally are here. You ought to look around, look for the one that you think, man, I don't care for that person. And you're to decide in your heart, I'm going to start loving them. I'm going to start loving them. I'm going to be thrilled when they're here. I'm going to let them know. You know, the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people that might do a better job in their Christianity if we'd pray for them more than we do. We'd just bring their name up in prayer more than we do. Hey, we're in this business of a sound heart, all right? Business of a sound heart is, how do you react to God's people? How do you feel about them? Look, there are some churches, boy, that people gossip like all get out. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? You ought to pray for folks. You ought to pray for. Hey, how's your heart? You got a sound heart? You love God with everything that's within you? You love His Word? You love His people? And it's just simple things. There they are. They're right out there. How do we react when Christians mess up? How do we react? Do we look at it and say, well, not surprised? Are we brokenhearted? We ought to be brokenhearted. Take your Bible to Acts chapter 15, would you? I've dwelled there long enough. We'll move on. But boy, I believe what I'm preaching. We ought to love people. There ought to be nowhere where people are loved more they're loved than the house of God. We ought to love them. But I'll tell you what, a sound heart is purified by faith. Acts chapter 15, verse 9, the Bible said, put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. The great exercise for the heart is that of faith. They tell you if you want to take care of your heart physically, you're supposed to do cardio. You know, if you do cardio and get your heart going. And I always have to stop and think that the first editor, of the magazine that was written for runners died with a heart attack while he was jogging. I said, what are you saying, preacher? I said, I don't know, maybe you only got so many heartbeats. I don't want to waste mine running, all right? Hey, I don't know. I was just kidding, all right? Hey, but the great exercise for your heart is spiritually is that of faith. He said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean you're to trust him. Exercise your faith. Trust him. Trust him. Hey, when you're reading that book that you love because you got a sound heart, when you see something that God says for you to do and immediately the flesh says, boy, you can't do that because of a lack of faith, that's where you ought to challenge yourself to say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust him to do what he said he would do. Hey, you're saved tonight because somewhere down the line, you put your trust in the Lord, who said if you'll come to him and call upon him, he'll save you. You put your faith in him, you trusted him, you did what he said, and you trusted him to do his part. Well, can I say this to you? Everything in the Bible, all those conditional promises, all of those areas where the Bible says we need to put our trust in him, that's the same thing we need to do. Just as you trusted him for salvation and called upon him, then you ought to have the faith to trust him. When he says, do this, and you go, and your flesh says, man, I don't think that's going to work. Well, do it anyway. Do it anyway, and let's see what God will do. Hey, just faith to trust him. And you pick the area, and ought to be every area where God gives you that opportunity. He said, if you want to be exalted, then you learn to humble yourself. And he can exalt you. If you want to have, then you learn to give. Man, it's just that faith to trust him. Faith to trust him. Not only faith to trust him, but faith to follow him. To follow him. Hey, what does God want you to do? What does he speak to you about? What does he want you to do? Now, whatever, it doesn't matter, whatever God wants you to do. So, well, he's speaking to me about passing out tracts. All right, get you a pocket full and start passing them out. Start passing them out. Well, I feel like he wants me to teach Sunday school, all right? Then say, okay, come and say, preacher, I believe the Lord wants me to teach Sunday school. I'd like to have a class, okay? You say, what class you want to give me? Pick an empty room, I'll give it to you. You fill it up and teach everybody you bring. You teach, just trust him. I'll follow him, whatever he says to do. Whatever he says, I'm willing to follow him. My faith is in him. I'll do whatever he says he wants me to do. Well, I don't think I can. Well, that's where faith comes in, all right? Faith to follow him. Faith to serve him. Faith to just surrender yourself to him. Here I am, Lord. Look, I've said it before. I'll keep saying it till I die. Every child of God ought to come to that point in their life, in their Christian life, where they walk the aisle, they kneel at the altar, and they say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, he hadn't called me. Well, surrender. I'm willing. Here I am, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Anything you want me to do, here I am. You let me know, I'll do it. Well, I ain't sure what he's going to say. That's why I know. That's where faith comes in. I don't know what he'll call you to do. But you see, faith demands of us, and it'll purify our heart. That sound heart is purified by faith. We'll just surrender to him. Surrender to him. One other thing, and I'm done. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about that sound heart. Sound heart. Now, the whole reason to preach the message is so you'll take a look at your heart. All right? And if it's right, great. If it's not, okay, here's where you need to work on it. Let's work on it. Verse 1, Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hey, look, a sound heart has its affections set on things above. We're talking about those things that are eternal. Those eternal things are of so much greater worth. so much greater worth. My granddaughter came this morning and pulled out money and said, I got my offering. And boy, that's good. I'm glad. But you know, so many of us, this is everything to us. So many people today, that's it. That's everything. It's all about money. And we just can't get our eyes off of it. I'll be honest with you, I understand how easy it is to get distracted, not by things above, but by things below. But that's why God says, set your affection on things above. Things above, not on those things above. But these things below, if we're not careful, they occupy our time, they occupy our mind, they occupy our heart. Because we get focused in right here. We get consumed by things below. And we worry ourselves to death over things below. But we don't give much consideration to those things that are eternal. Those things that are going to last. Most people in our day have an investment, even if it's just in Social Security. But we've invested something somewhere. All right? We do. We look at those investments. I'll tell you, the smartest place we can invest is in heaven. Invest in those things that are eternal. I look at these posters on the wall. I go back there and look on that map of the world and see where we've got missionaries around this world that are serving God. And I think, man, I have the privilege of giving and investing for eternity. Investing for eternity. Hey, those things that are above. Those things that are above. Hey, the Bible says that's where our Lord is. That's the one we say we love above everyone else. And yet we don't have our heart fixed there. It's fixed here. On that car that you have. Hey, boy, there's more important things. There's so much more valuable things that are available. Hey, that sound heart sets affections on things above and all that. It'll seek those things. Looking for eternal things. Oh, Abraham spent his life, the years of his life, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Hey, we sing that song that says, I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger wandering through this world below. But the truth of it is, we get planted here and we forget that we're just pilgrims here. We're sojourning right here. This isn't it. We need to seek those things that are above and invest in those things that are above. Well, what are you going to have now? I've got a collection of stuff. Actually, I have several collections of stuff that are basically worthless, except I like them. All right? I enjoy them. And I've got those. But that's not where my life has been invested. That's not where my life has been invested. I'm a collector of books. I really enjoy reading books on the circus. I've got about that much of shelf space, books about the circus. Now you double that, and that's how much space I got about books about World War II. Almost all of it in the Pacific. You said, why? I've got an interest. I enjoy that. But that's not where my life is. If all of it burned up, I would be sad. My wife would be happy. She would say, we don't have to fool with that stuff anymore, all right? But I enjoy those things. But that's not where my life's been invested. It's not where my life's been invested. Seeking those things above. Seeking them. Take your Bible over to 2 Chronicles Second Chronicles chapter 12, would you? Second Chronicles chapter 12. Won't you see one verse tonight? Hey, there's a danger in not seeking those things that are above. Second Chronicles chapter 12, look at verse 14, talking about Rehoboam. The Bible said he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. If we had our mind more on those things above, there'd be less chance we'd be involved in evil. Life could be different. Life could be different. So, preacher, how do these things come about? Quickly, Psalm 34, if you would. Psalm 34. We can avoid that danger. We can seek those things that are above. And so what's needed? I think it starts here. Psalm 34, if you will. Look at verse 18. The Bible said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Oh, how we need to have a broken heart over our own sin. A broken heart over our own sin, where we let our Lord down. We disappoint Him. We hurt His people. We ought to have a broken heart. There ought to be something about us that when we realize what we've done, there ought to be a broken heart right there. But once you realize and it's a broken heart, we don't quit there. We go to Psalm 51. Verse 10, we see where David said this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Hey, you're checking out, looking for the symptoms of a sound heart. You got a sound heart, you'll love God. You got a sound heart, you'll love His Word. If you got a sound heart, you'll love His people. You'll purify that heart by faith. You want to keep it sound. You will have your affections in the right place, things above. But if you realize there's a problem, you'll get a broken heart. And you'll come to God and say the same thing David did. "Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart." And I just ask you tonight, check your heart. Is it sound? Is it sound? You don't love like you should because you don't have a sound heart. You don't serve like you should. You got heart problems. Heart problems. We can just go on and on. You check it out. What about your heart? Our Heavenly Father, I pray now you'll just speak to us tonight. Lord, this matter of a sound heart's important. Lord, it's our life to have that sound heart. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take a look at ourselves, our own heart, see where we are, see what we lack, see what we need to do. And then, Lord, if need be, we'd have a broken heart, and we'd be broken heart over our sin. Lord, we'd come to you and say, "Lord, here I am, creating me a clean heart. I need your help. I need you to do this for me." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together tonight, page 17, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord"?